Morning. The reading is taken from Luke 4, 31 to 44. It can be found on page 1031 of the Church Bibles. Jesus drives out an impure spirit. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his words had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of illnesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The word authority runs like a thread through that reading. It's the theme of what I want to say this morning. I've been preparing this talk over the past couple of weeks during the climax to the referendum debate. As I wrote this, I changed the tense of it this morning. As I wrote this, I'd no idea of the outcome. But now we do know, and even if we're unsure of the consequences, one thing that was uncertain in the past is now certain in the present and creates an uncertainty in the future. During that debate, we've heard plenty of people put forward their views and opinions. Perhaps as you think back, some faces appear before you, maybe some episodes, some interludes in the debate when particular people said particular things. Some of them we've believed. Some of them we've disregarded completely. But through the ballot box, we've exercised a choice based on our perception of what we've heard. And presumably, by inference, on the authority of the people who have spoken those words. This morning's passage in Luke focuses on episodes surrounding Jesus speaking publicly. Doubtless, he too experienced that range of differences in opinion. Some acceptance, plenty of acceptance, but also a great deal of scepticism and undoubtedly some hostility. But in reading through the passage, I've been struck by three things, and it's on those that I want to dwell this morning. Early on in the passage, there's this sentence, "They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority." I wonder what we understand by the word, and what sense can we make of it in the context of the gospel account. And let me just briefly at the start reset that context, briefly go back over recent events. Having been baptized in the Jordan River and blessed by his Father from above, Jesus has endured a period of wilderness wandering in the desert. He's resisted temptation by the devil and has embarked on the period of life which we call his ministry. This has taken him into his home province, Galilee. And there, we are told, he's visited synagogues, addressed people there, and by what we read in verse 4:15, been well received. Now, we need to understand a little bit about synagogues. Synagogues were important institutions in the Jewish tradition. According to that tradition, if a settlement, a place, grew above a certain size, there would be established within it a synagogue, a meeting and teaching place. They were places of study and worship, and provided visiting speakers with an opportunity to address the people, provided they were invited to do so. Now, we can deduce from this that at this stage, the authorities, deliberate use of the word, accepted Jesus' credentials and permitted him to speak. But if we read on, and I'm just briefly touching on last week's passage, just before what we've had read to us this morning, Jesus travels to Nazareth, his hometown, and does the same thing there. Remember, presumably invited into this place to speak. He again takes up the invitation, but this time, in the eyes of the authorities, he oversteps the accepted mark by what he says. And the invitation is withdrawn, and Jesus is thrown out. Indeed, by the account in verses 29 and 30, he narrowly escapes death. You could say that as a consequence, Jesus has lost his authority to speak in the synagogue. Now, as we look at this morning's passage, we see that Jesus is once again in the synagogue, albeit a different one, speaking to the people. He's travelled to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is a bigger place, a sizable town, we understand, in the area, close to the Lake of Galilee, and is in fact the home of Simon Peter. It is home to Simon Peter's hometown. And presumably, because it's a large town, it has a synagogue which reflects this. Jesus would have been speaking to a large number of people. But what I want to draw our attention to is what is written about what he says. What's written is, they were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. What gets their attention isn't who he is, but what he says. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. In the parallel account of this episode, which is written in Mark's Gospel, the wording is a little bit different. It says, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as one of the teachers of the law. It wasn't Jesus' credentials that gave him authority. So we have here a separation. And what we hear and what we understand is that it wasn't the fact that it was Jesus' position that gave him authority. Rather, it was what he said. Jesus wasn't known as one of the intellects of the synagogue circle, if you like. In the synagogues, there would have been researchers and learned people, learned men, who had studied the scriptures and whose position enabled them, gave them the right to teach fellow Jewish people. Jesus amazed his listeners, not by who he was, but by what he said. And you know, I think there's a lesson here, the first lesson for us. We live in a world in which who you are largely determines how seriously people take you. Just look at the attention paid to celebrities. And I've deliberately chosen in this talk not to put any celebrity name out there as an example, because that would be value-laden. If so-and-so uses a product, it must be worth using. If what's-his-name says that, it must be true. If thingamajig goes there, it must be worth going there. In our recent referendum debate, both sides rolled out big name after big name to support their cause, as if to say, if they think this, it must be true. We see that too in the pressure put on people, especially the young, to achieve top grade qualifications. Effectively, what it says constantly is prove who you are. And only when you're good enough will we take you seriously. And I think that exerts enormous pressures on people, especially in the case of young people, to be a particular thing. And having worked for my working life in education and gone along with that in trying to make excellent all the people that I've worked with, the students that I've taught, I recognize the enormous pressure that that puts upon them and the considerable cost of those who, in the eyes of the judges, don't make it, and who have to walk through life, walk their walk in life with this feeling not of being a valid or a valued person, but of being a failure, a person without authority. The example we have in Jesus is not of a person who builds themselves up. Rather, we have an example of a person who ignores status. As Paul writes in Philippians 2, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God to be something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And I think if we are to live as God intended, if we are to follow the example of Jesus whilst he was on earth, we need to strive to amaze people, not by who we are, not by our status, but by what we say, and by what we do, and how we behave. And as an old worship song says, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And I think that is a real challenge, especially at a time of uncertainty in our country, where people don't know what the future holds. Please, can we try to not matter, not worry about who we are, but enable people to see that they'll know who we are by our love. Now at this point, let's consider for a moment the purpose behind the gospel accounts of Jesus' life. Whilst they provide an outline of the events of the 3 years or so of his ministry, that wasn't their sole purpose. The Gospels weren't written simply as a biographical story. They served a more important purpose. The point of the Gospels, the point of writing down by those original authors the accounts and the stories that they did, was to communicate to the readers who Jesus really was. That was the point of them. And to do this, they had to identify the elements of that life that demonstrated his true identity. So having amazed his listeners by the authority of what he said, Jesus now has an encounter with one of the people who was there, which demonstrates his authority by his actions. The fact that the man was in the synagogue at all suggests that he was not suffering from any affliction that made him unclean according to the Jewish laws of the time. But he was clearly distressed and disturbed. I wonder what label we'd put on that type of person now. I'm not going down that road just at this moment. Whilst not an outcast, according to the law, the man would not have been someone who would have made others feel comfortable in his company. We can perhaps deduce that in many circles that man would not have been welcomed. Rather, he would have been ostracized by those present, probably uncomfortable in his company and fearful of his unpredictable outbursts. Put yourself in that position now. Someone in the company suddenly shouts out at the top of their voice. He challenges you. He confronts you. Perhaps even appears to want to pick a fight with you. What would you do? I'll leave you to think about that. It made no difference to Jesus. Rather, it provided a further opportunity to show who Jesus really was. Point of the Gospels. Jesus confronts the man, or rather, looks inside him, confronts the demon inside him and challenges him. Be quiet. Come out of him. 6 words, 2 instructions. That's all it took to establish that Jesus wasn't merely another gifted speaker or learned scholar. Instead, it's interesting to note that the evil spirit itself recognized who Jesus was, who Jesus really was, and the evil spirit communicated to the people, perhaps got there before many of them, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Interesting how that man with that spirit saw the truth. Those present in that synagogue that Sabbath learned more from him in that episode than they would have learnt on all their other visits there put together. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power he gives out orders to evil spirits, and they come out." All of us who have the privilege of reading the Gospels are learning too. And there's one final point from this encounter which is worth identifying because of its challenge to us. I asked you a few minutes ago what you would have done if you'd been there and that man had shouted at you. I'm sure I would have walked away from the confrontation with that man had I been shouted at. I certainly wouldn't have picked a fight with him. I think I would have been scared. I would have been ill at ease at the possible outcome of such a meeting. And I expect we're all prone to do that most of the time, to avoid situations where we might be called upon to demonstrate our faith or call into use our trust in God. We often avoid or sidestep, nice little euphemism for avoiding those difficult situations. Jesus didn't. Jesus spoke and acted. And the result? The man was freed from his demon possession. He got up uninjured, brushed himself off. And I wonder what he looked like and what he felt like. Would that we had the confidence in God to walk towards the challenges we face. We now move away from the synagogue for the next episode in this morning's account. Remember, the purpose of the Gospels isn't just to tell stories, it's to reveal to the reader something about the very nature of Jesus. And in those final two sections of our passage, we discover two more important things about Jesus and, by inference, about God. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. It was the home of Simon, Peter, and Andrew. And possibly close by lived the families of James and John too. It would not have been unusual for Jesus to visit that area and those homes, probably. Whether Jesus was asked to visit one of those, "Why don't you come round for lunch after going to church" invites, we don't know. Maybe he was asked because Peter was aware that Jesus was there and was aware his mother-in-law was ill. Or whether he only found out that to be the case when he got there, we don't know. But the fact is that she had been taken to bed, and as we're told in Mark's parallel account, she had a high fever. And the fact that she wasn't carrying on doing what she could, and the fact that she'd gone to her room, certainly implied that she was very seriously unwell. Jesus' reaction to this is instant and significant. He rebuked the fever, and it left her. Again, Jesus demonstrates his authority in his words and his actions. And we can now see the outcome by the two statements which immediately follow. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Straight back to work. Clearly this was a miraculous healing. There was no period of convalescence. There was no, "Why don't you take it easy and sit down and we'll get lunch for you." There was none of that. So what can we learn from it? I think two things. Firstly, we see demonstrated in this miraculous healing further evidence of Jesus' authority. But this time, it's his authority over sickness. Jesus has the power to heal. And that's not to say that he always does so, particularly on the terms that we might like, but heal he certainly can. And secondly, in this little episode, as well as the previous one in the synagogue, Jesus showed his willingness to involve himself in the lives of those whose society at that time might have judged less important. A man with a mental condition and a woman with severe physical illness. In this account, as in many others, Jesus revealed himself as the Saviour of all humanity, not just the privileged few. And at the time, that was so countercultural. And it's just as countercultural now. We live in a world full of divisions, and we are all challenged to follow a Saviour who would not recognise them. And it's another challenge to us as we try to follow him. So we arrive at the final part of the passage, this action-packed passage. And we're in the evening of this busy Sabbath. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was Christ. It's non-stop, isn't it? From what we read, Jesus has been hard at it all day, and he must be exhausted. But as soon as it's light, the morning of the next day, at daybreak, Jesus went to a solitary place. The people were looking for him when he went there where he was, and they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues in Judea. And I think finally this little bit can speak to so many of us. Those times when we're tired, those times when other people's issues get in the way of us having a rest, those times when we just want a break. Jesus had them too. Jesus tried to get away, to be in a solitary place. But he also knew that he needed to be available, not just to a possessive few, but to any and all who needed him. Because that was why I was sent. And I think that's our final challenge, to be there. There's so much in this passage to learn about who Jesus was, so much to take in, so many challenges to face. Jesus speaks and acts with authority. That's both a reassurance and a challenge to us. Jesus walks towards difficult situations, not away from them. Would that we could do the same. And finally, Jesus is available to all the time, not just the privileged sometimes. Let's all be encouraged by that. Amen.